You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Carrie the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Averre from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath. Rock out with your geek out.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 186 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
Oh, that's my cue. Sorry. George motherfucking Tripsis. Sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And, of course, we have our very special guest again. Almost permanent member of the Metal Geeks crew here, Justin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Unfortunately, Dave's not feeling well, so he's not here tonight, but we will power through and get,
I'll be brutal Justin today.
I was about to say, will you be brutal Justin for us?
Yes.
And George, will you be brutal George?
No. I'm about as soft and fluffy as a cloud and happy as a rainbow.
You were the one talking about Captain America's dick earlier, so yeah.
I mean, it's America's dick. How could you not want to know about it?
Do you want to talk about that little news story that hit last week or this week? When was that?
It's anything but little, my friend. It's anything but little, from what I understand.
Okay. I have not seen. I've seen the outline of Batman's dick, but...
I didn't necessarily want to see, but it stumbled across my feed, so I have seen.
I have not seen it.
I haven't found it on my Twitter feed yet, so when I see it, I'll share it with you.
So you have that to look forward to.
Yeah, right? we're not retweeting that on the Metal Geeks podcast Twitter feed.
We totally are.
This is what we do in our off time, send each other dick pics of celebrities.
Celebrity dick pics.
So what's the story? What happened?
So basically, Chris Evans was playing a Twitter game. I don't know what the game's called, but he was playing with some other celebrities. And
Tweet your
somebody,
dick? Was that the name of the game?
I don't think it was Tweet Your Dick. No, I think that was an accident. Okay. They were filming his phone, and he opened up his pictures, and he was scrolling through it, and he scrolled by a video that he had. And in the video, of course, there's the outline of his dick. It's not like a full frontal nudity kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
It was just an overhead shot of the outline. And, you know, of course, the internet being what it is, they immediately latched onto it and blew up the picture as big as they could and started sharing it everywhere. So.
Haven't celebrities realized not to have any nude photos on or anything on their own mobile devices? I mean, if I was a celebrity, I'd buy a camera, like an old school, like developed film camera. That's the only way you would get it. You'd have to take it and get developed.
So nothing is 100% safe. I mean, even if you did that and you took it to get developed, who's to say the person that works at CVS isn't going to like take those pictures?
I would learn to develop them myself. I get a dark room and everything.
I think what we learned here, Carrie is a classic dick pic taker.
Yeah.
Unclassic.
Vintage. It's all about vintage look here.
He needs somebody to like come in with one of those old fashioned cameras where the bulb explodes.
Yes. I need only black and white for me. I need that film noir look on mine.
I mean, celebrities are people too. If Chris Evans wants to video his dick, he should be more than allowed to, you know. And if he accidentally shows it, at least he's taking it in stride. You know, the next very next day after it happened, he tweets out and he goes, "America, now that I've got your attention, go vote."
Very true. That's cool. Yeah, I know. He's really into voting
movies, so we got nothing to worry about.
Not even that. I mean, the guy has nothing to be ashamed of. It'd be a different story if he was like, you know, a peanut or something. But he's got nothing to worry about. He's Chris Evans.
True. It's America's dick, like I said.
We've seen the America's ass. Now we've seen the America's dick.
Welcome to Metal Geeks.
Right. Welcome to the show, my friends. Here's where we get that rating.
That's the top of the show.
I mean, we've seen Batman's dick in the comic books.
Yeah.
Why not Captain America?
It's just Marvel trying to one up again.
That's right. Yeah. Doing it better because it's a real person this time. So what have you guys been up to? You guys doing well?
Yeah, for the most part. Quarantine is treating me about as good as it can. Still working from home, saving a lot of money, which is great. Able to buy some things I've been...
I was about to say, are you really saving money? I've seen some of your purchases recently.
Well, you know, I have been saving money for the majority of quarantine. Okay. I've finally gotten rid of all the negative stuff on my credit report that was left over from my previous marriage.
Yay.
All my bills are finally 100% current. I've got money saved in the bank, so I can finally afford to buy some things that I actually have been wanting for a long time. And
you deserve to be frivolous.
Yeah, well, I'm not really being frivolous. I'm still a pretty frugal guy, but I've been buying, you know, stuff that I've wanted for a while that's not going to put me in any kind of financial straits.
Exactly. What about you, George? How have you been?
Oh, I've been good, man. Just stupid busy with work and, try to keep a positive attitude in these, you know, trying times.
Very true. Well, I mean, yeah. I've been watching a lot more TV recently than playing video games, and we'll get into that. Let's talk about the Marvel Avengers video game.
Has that come out yet?
It has come out yet. Sort of.
Is Captain America's dick a weapon?
No, it is not. There might be DLC later in the game. I don't think this game is quite yet finished. I don't know. All right. Here's what I don't like about the game. Let's preface that. I am not a fan of the what they're going with for this game. It's a very Destiny, very microtransaction-y for a lot of stuff. Like, you have to play
stuff in the game?
Yeah, oh yeah. There's like certain things you have to do on certain days, and you have to... I don't like all the multiplayer aspect of it. Single player is the only thing I cared about. And I was playing it the other night, and I was on this mission. It was maybe like the fourth or fifth mission in the game, where you have to break into a prison. You're as Miss Marvel, which Miss Marvel is like my favorite character in the game. She's awesome.
Kamala Khan. Yeah, she's awesome.
And there's a thing where the single player has a lot of, okay, here's a base. Stand on this base and make sure the enemy doesn't take it over for a while. I'm like, number one, why the fuck is that in a single player portion of this game? Doesn't make sense to me. The single player version of this game, the cutscenes and all that kind of stuff are pretty cool. The story is pretty cool. But there's a lot of elements from multiplayer, like hold the base type of stuff, that should not be in a single player game. So I got to this level and there was a wave. I beat the wave and then you get embiggened at the beginning of it. And then like there was this one big enemy and he kept on disappearing. So every time he would disappear, it meant the game wouldn't trigger that the enemy was dead, so it wouldn't go to the cutscene and complete the level or go to the next part of the level. I did it over and over and over. I rebooted my game, exited out, restarted the game, finally had to turn off the system, turn it back on. I'm like, okay, let's see what happens. And that cleared it out. I'm
like, sounds like a Bethesda game.
That's like a major bug, you know? I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. But, I mean, the single-player game is pretty cool, except for those small moments. I don't really care about the multiplayer, because even in the single-player game, you go to, like, the war table thing, and you pick your levels. And a lot of them say multiplayer or multi... I'm like, you know what? I don't even want to do those. I just want to play the storyline. That's it. Once I play the storyline, I probably won't touch it again unless they, you know, release free characters that they're going to with more storyline. But... I'm sure a lot of people out there are enjoying the multiplayer, and good for them. It's just something I don't have time for, you know? What'd you say, George? I'm sorry?
Not worth it, is what you're saying.
I bought it at Walmart, so it was like $10 cheaper, and it came with a bunch of patches, which are pretty cool. But yeah, maybe not. I would wait, truthfully. I know with AT&T or one of the companies was giving it away for free.
I think it was T-Mobile.
Yeah, it might have been T-Mobile.
Yeah.
So
game with T-Mobile?
And I think this game is going to be cheap enough. Give it a month or two. We're so close to Black Friday sales, you know. which will be different this year, I'm sure. But still, this game is going to be $15 in no time because they want people to play the multiplayer aspect and they want people to buy the costumes and do all this other kind of stuff and give them money, you know. It feels like a mobile game in that aspect where it's just very, very full of microtransactions, which annoys the fuck out of me. But the game company, the game designers, the same, they did the last Tomb Raider games, which are great. And there's definitely elements of that. There's definitely wall climbing and like fitting through like small spaces and that type of shit, you know what I mean? But I don't know. It's not the Avengers game I wanted.
Fair enough.
But Kamala Khan's awesome.
Like that game is what you're saying. I'll just borrow it from you when you're done.
Yeah, if you want to. Because after I beat the single player, I probably won't play it much after that. I'll move on to other single player narrative-driven experiences, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. Played a little bit of Tony Hawk 1 and 2 remaster tonight. That was fun.
I haven't bought that yet.
It's really good, dude. It's taken me a little bit to get back into playing it well. I was playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2, and I got to the school level right before we started recording, which was one of my favorite levels. The music in it is still there. They added new bands to it, which are not good, but the original soundtrack is still cool. It has Anthrax, Public Enemy. I mean, come on.
So, bring the noise. Dusting off your skateboard out from your garage and go skateboarding now?
You know, I haven't had a skateboard.
He's going to drain his pool.
Yes.
Go out there and do some tricks.
It's like, check it out, guys. I can do tricks.
I had a skateboard when I was really young, but I haven't had one in a long time, no.
Mm-hmm. I skateboard until I broke my ankle, then I stopped.
Did you? How old were you when you stopped?
Like 13, 14.
Yeah. I was probably like 11 or 12 when I had one, I think. I was never good at it. I could barely just go down the street on it, but, you know.
Same here. I had one when I was like 7 or 8, and I would skate around a little bit, but I always preferred actual rollerblades or skating to skateboards. I was just better at it.
But when Tony Hawk games came out, that was my jam. I was good at it at one point. Probably not as good as most people, but
I just remember that game being like mindless fun. Like, no matter what you were doing, like, it wasn't too serious, and it wasn't like super challenging, but at times it was challenging, and I don't know. I just remember having good times playing.
It's a good
that
mixture,
game.
And if you go to Walmart, it's only like $33 for it, which is cheap. If people out there don't know, Walmart will have brand new games for much cheaper than they are even advertised. So like a $40, $39 game will be like $33, and a $59 game will be $49.94. That's how much Avengers was there, you know?
That's the rollback.
That's the rollback. The happy smiley face wants you to come in there and buy a video game, and then, wait a minute, I need $150 of groceries, too. And look, a TV to go with my video game. That's where they make the money, you know? They don't make money off video games, so they can afford to lose $10 here and there. You're going to make up for it in the other part of the store, you know?
Sure.
They hope to, at least.
I don't. But I go in there for what I need, and that's it. I don't like to be in Walmart longer than I have to be.
Yeah, very true.
But Walmart's doing really well with self-checkout. You don't have to even, like, really be around anybody.
I don't think I've been to a store that doesn't have self-checkout anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Target does a really good job. But
I went to the grocery store the other day, and I was in line for self-checkout, and they had registers open as well. And the self-checkout, of course, had a lot of people in it, so they were trying to pull people and make them go to the line. And I almost fought the manager because I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm staying here.
Stay away.
I don't want to talk to anybody.
Right.
This isn't a
6 feet, motherfucker, 6 feet.
This is not about COVID. This is about my hatred of people. I refuse to talk to a person.
I didn't want to do this before.
COVID just enabled your hatred. That's all it did.
I was built for this pandemic, seriously. Like, I love not seeing anybody. I get to talk to you guys on stuff like this, and I'm happy. That's all I need.
Speaking of video games, it's the 35th anniversary of Super Mario, which makes me really feel old. But it's coming out this week is the 3D remaster. I can't really say if they're remastered. They're 3D. The re-released version is called 3D Mario All-Stars. So it's Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy, which are all good games.
I played the fuck out of Mario 64 back in the day.
Me too. And it's all on, you know, Switch game. And apparently it's a limited release. I don't know how limited, but they said it's not going to be available after March. So if you want to get it, you might want to go to Walmart and get that $10 off, you know?
I mean, I'm sure it'll be available at GameStop for $26 come March.
Probably.
If GameStop exists around March.
Yeah, they're supposed to close a bunch of stores, so.
Yeah, that's true, too. There's always eBay.
It's true. It's always eBay and Amazon.
Yep.
So what do you guys been watching? What have you been catching up on?
Justin, you want to go first?
Well, I've been watching Lovecraft Country for sure.
Yeah.
It's been such an amazing show so far. I'm really excited to see where they go with it. I watched the first episode of Raised by Wolves today. I really liked that.
I watched the first episode of that too.
It's such a good show. I've seen 5 episodes.
Is there 5 episodes out already?
Yeah.
I thought there was only... Okay, so I've watched the first one too.
Yeah, I need to catch up on it for sure. It's quite good. I like Ridley Scott's stuff a lot.
It's very Star Trek-y, don't you think?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it's anything like Star Trek.
Really?
I think it's like... it has the themes for Prometheus, but none of the stupid alien bullshit that they try to shoehorn in there.
Actually, I think Prometheus is a better approximation than Star Trek. That's true. Yeah.
It looks like Star Trek.
It's like he took all the themes and aesthetics from like Blade Runner, Prometheus, and like old school Alien, and threw it in a blender and made into one show. Even though he's not the creator or the writer of the show, he's just the director of the first 3 episodes. It's still a great show, and it feels very Ridley Scott.
So he's not the showrunner? I thought he created it.
No, he's just a producer.
Oh, okay.
There's a guy, I don't remember the writer's name. It's like a Russian name.
It's always misleading when they say from so-and-so.
Yeah.
You know, because you never really know what their role is.
From the college roommate of Ridley Scott.
It has the dude from Vikings in it, and he's pretty good, and... it's a fun show, and there's a robot that loves to tell dad jokes throughout the whole thing, and it's great.
Okay.
Awesome.
Was he within the first episode, or?
Yeah, he's the black android.
Okay.
Yeah.
They call him father. He loves, he's like, do you want to hear a joke?
Yes, that's true, but.
He wants to tell jokes.
I saw he doesn't survive. But, spoilers, we won't go there. We won't talk about that.
Why? I didn't say nothing. You did.
You know you did. You did.
I said dad jokes. That's all I said.
Yeah, but you insinuated that he lived past the first episode.
I forgot he died in the first episode.
Okay.
It's so long ago.
It's not like we're not going to watch it. So
We'll
deal with him when we get there.
If anyone's listening to this and was put off by the trailer or the title, because it's a terrible title, they should definitely just look past it. Even some of the beginning part of the first episode is a little weird, but... once you get past the weird, and it's a good weird, it's a really good show.
I mean, also, it's quarantine, so there's not really anything else new to watch anyway, so just watch it.
That's true. It's not like you can really go out and looking for new shit at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And then I also watched Bill and Ted, obviously.
We talked about
loved.
That, yeah.
I wasn't here when you guys recorded
what
it.
What's your opinion?
I loved it. I thought it was just a fun, nostalgia-filled ride. I thought both the daughters did a great job. I love both those actresses quite a bit.
I got to tell you, dude, I am loving Samara Weaving.
I'm smitten with Samara Weaving.
Yeah, me too.
My favorite horror actress right now. She's the next Jodie Foster. Like, she's going to be the next big scream queen for sure.
I watched yesterday afternoon. I'm like, all right. So I know they created a sequel to the Babysitter movie, which I had never
watched
seen.
That too. Yep,
so
watched that too.
I watched the first one yesterday. I was like, it was way better than I thought it was going to be. It was funny. It was creative. It was pop culture referenced. It was some of the deaths were really cool. I had no idea what this movie really was. And then I couldn't wait. I watched the sequel today. It was so good, too. I was like, how are they going to continue this story? And they did in such a clever way, I saw it. They did it in a way that made sense.
Yeah, no, the story definitely made sense. But, I mean, there's a lot of polarizing opinions about the sequel because people were expecting it to be kind of like the first one, and they really play up the comedy in the second one.
They do, yes, for sure.
It's a lot more of a jokey movie, but, I mean, it kind of has to be because the premise is just so ridiculous.
Bringing Ken Marino into it even more, you're going to get that. I love that dude. He's so funny.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a really fun movie. I enjoyed the second one quite a bit. It's not as good as the first, but it's still a very fun movie. But they're both great. And everything Samara Weaving does is just awesome. Like, you should check out Ready or Not. You should check out.
I watched Ready or Not. I loved it.
Yeah, everything she does is great. And then
Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like That's I said, true. she's going to be the next Jodie Foster.
She is. If nobody heard what George said, she is the daughter of Hugo Weaving. Maybe she'll be in the Matrix movies.
Niece. I think she's the niece.
She's related somehow.
I thought she was the daughter.
No, she's the niece. I'm almost positive she's the niece. That's how she got the role for Bill and Ted, because Keanu is good friends with Hugo.
That makes sense.
I'm going to look up right now.
I loved Bill and Ted. I liked everything about it except for the robot.
You're right.
The robot was
Hugo Weaving is her uncle.
The robot was my least favorite part of Bill and Ted, but I loved everybody's reactions to the robot.
I love the robot. I love the actor.
Like I said last time, I don't want to go through a complete rehash, but I haven't talked to Justin about it. My only biggest complaint, I loved Bill and Ted Face the Music. I thought it was fun. My biggest complaint, it wasn't weird enough. Like, Bogus Journey takes such a huge turn of going left and being different and weird. I just don't feel like they were weird enough.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that point.
But, like, I still had a great time. It's a fun movie, and I'm going to watch it every year. So
yeah, it's just such a hard story to imagine how they would actually wrap it up.
Bought it.
Because,
we all bought it.
Yeah, we did. Everybody's always wondered what the perfect song that unites everybody would sound like. And, I mean, it's such a – I'm sure it was such a challenging thing for the writers to actually put together.
Apparently, it's not God Gave Rock and Roll to You.
Well, luckily.
It's a Kiss cover, man.
No. But
I think the way they handled it was a really good way to wrap up the series. And
sure. Yeah.
I liked it a lot. And then the last thing I watched recently, which is not quite out yet, but I found a screener and watched it, Possessor. Man, that is one of the most intense and brutal movies I've ever seen.
I probably wouldn't like it then.
You probably wouldn't, because you get kind of squeamish about stuff, but George will love it. I think George will really like it.
Well, don't paint me in a bad light, but I don't get that squeamish. But
being called squeamish is not being painted in a bad light, Gary.
It's not. I mean, everybody's not a gore whore, you know? It's just kind of like some people like that stuff and some people don't.
Gore whore. I've never heard that term before. I like that. That's funny.
A little horror movie term.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the movie's more than just that. There's a... you know, science fiction element added into it. And there's a lot of interpersonal drama. And then the ending, it has a twist ending a little bit that I did not see coming that completely caught me off guard, which is such a rare thing to actually happen. And I was just blown away by it. So if you like horror movies at all, you got to watch Possessor whenever you can. It's like a 9.5 out of 10 for me.
Instead of the Cronenberg, is his son or something?
Yeah, it's Dave Kirkberg's son.
Yeah.
Junior?
I don't think it's Junior.
Might as well be called Junior. His movies looks just like his.
Did you guys watch Cobra Kai yet?
Yes. I did. I watched it on Netflix.
Yes, me too.
I watched season one on YouTube 2 years ago.
Okay.
I paid for YouTube Red. I got the free 1 month subscription to YouTube Red and watched it back then. And then I watched season two in one night when it got released on Netflix.
Yeah, within a week period, I watched both seasons on Netflix. This show it's way better than it should be. They just tapped into the essence of what the Karate Kid movies are and the characters, and they found a great way into it with Johnny Lawrence and his character now, and even with Kreese coming back, everything about it was perfect, really.
And now Ralph Macchio is acting again. He can afford to not be living in a dumpster. It's great.
I don't think he was living in a dumpster, but
I feel like
he wasn't working for a while. But
this is one of those nostalgia type series where there were so many opportunities for misstepping. Like they could have messed it up. They could have could have derailed it. They could have ended up just being
cheesy,
way
super
too cheesy, or way too like serious and not been fun. But they really did find like a perfect balance of like nostalgia and cheesiness and seriousness and actual martial arts. And it's a really fun series. I've only seen two people complain about it at all or say they don't like it. And one of them was Craig Price, who doesn't like anything. So, I mean,
I saw that.
Everybody else I know that's watched it, even harsh critics like George, they've enjoyed it.
Watching it, I was like two episodes in. I was like, oh man, I don't think I'm going to like this. But then I kept watching it and I got stuck in this mode where I just had to keep watching.
Yeah.
And it rides like this really fine line of being almost terrible, but then yet it's so enjoyable.
Oh, exactly. That's what I was trying to say. It walks that line perfectly.
I think bringing like the next generation of the kids in and all this kind of stuff, and just not focusing only solely on, you know, the relationship between Johnny and LaRusso, you know, bringing these new characters in, these kids, to really it wasn't typical WB teenage romance stuff, which there was a little bit of that, but it wasn't like over the top.
Let's be fair, there's a lot of that.
It's not like Arrow or something, you know what I mean?
I think it's just on the same line as Arrow or Flash when it comes to...
I don't know.
But the characters,
maybe I like these characters better.
The characters are more likable. They have more depth to them than those characters do. Because we have, you know, a 20-year history with those characters. And it's so interesting to see
30-year dude. Come on.
Well, yeah. It's interesting to see the adversity between Daniel and Johnny, but then also Kreese and Daniel and Kreese and Johnny.
I haven't watched
Kreese and the kids,
Karate
and the kids
Kid.
Each other.
I haven't watched the original movie since I was a kid, or since I was young. So I'm gonna start rewatching them like this weekend.
They're so good. I had forgotten how good they were. I finished season two, and then I went back and watched Karate Kid 1 through 3.
Yeah,
with Donovan last night.
1 and 2 are probably my favorite movies. Like some of my favorite martial art movies from the '80s.
And I love how Johnny Lawrence is stuck in the '80s. He's totally stuck in the '80s.
Stuck in the '80s. The dude has problem letting shit go. Like he's holding on to a girlfriend that he had for like a year.
Yeah. When they were signing up.
When he was 16.
Yes.
When he was 16. He's like 40 now.
Yeah.
He's older than 40. He's like probably in his almost 50s. Well, he's older than 50 now, but like the part where they're signing up for the like the online dating, they're like, what's your favorite movie? Iron Eagle and Iron Eagle 2. I'm like, yeah. There you go.
I've never seen Iron Eagle, but they keep talking about it.
And all the hair metal references and stuff like that. Pretty cool.
My favorite part was when they went and dragged their one friend out of the cancer ward and went out and like partied together.
I mean,
it just felt so real. Like that part especially felt so real to me. Like these characters feel real, which is why I enjoy the show so much.
And those are all actual characters from the Karate Kid movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
it was a bummer how that episode ended, but it was good. Good show.
I'm excited for season three.
Excited enough for me to want to keep watching.
Yeah, I'm excited for season three, which they've already said.
By a crappy YouTube show.
Well, yeah. I don't think it's a crappy show, though, is the problem. I just don't think a lot of people had seen it because it was on YouTube, you know?
Yeah, I think that was the biggest issue. That's why Netflix picked it up.
The Netflix move was such a great idea. Crap. What?
Most shit from YouTube is crap, is what I was trying to say.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
I think the move to Netflix is so brilliant. And then season three is going to premiere on Netflix.
Yeah, YouTube is not making any more original content.
As long as they don't bring Jaden Smith in season three, we'll be good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, that'd be so great. If they find a way to tie Jaden Smith and Jackie Chan, that'd be so great.
I wouldn't hate if Jackie Chan showed up, but...
Need to figure that out.
I wouldn't hate if Jackie Chan showed up, but not Jaden Smith.
I don't know, man. I see if they do that, I think it does take it too far past the line.
So, did I ever tell you the Jaden Smith story that I have?
No, you have a Jaden Smith story?
I have, well, not physically meeting the dude, but, all right, so, when I was back in film school, we took trips to to California every year for CineGear, right? One of the years we were there, this one of the sneak previews you can get into was After Earth.
Oh my God, I was there for that same thing.
Were you?
Yeah, I went to that same screening.
At the Warner Brothers studio?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we were there together then, dude.
wow. World.
We were standing in the because Warner Brothers has an on-site movie theater, and that's where they did the premiere. And they had was it Paramount?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because I took pictures of the Paramount lot.
Yeah. You're right. It is Paramount. Okay. But they have an on-site movie theater there where they do premieres and stuff like that. Our show, cuts to people, and that's what they did. They had one of the VFX guys or somebody that talked about it. The movie beforehand, and they showed the movie, and then it was finally over. And we were talking outside in the lobby, making fun of it, talking about how there is no emotion in Jaden Smith's performance. They had to digitally put tears on him at some point. And like one of the executives walked by, and he's like, "Oh, tell me more. What do you guys really think about the movie?" We're like, Do you really want to hear it? we proceeded to tell him what we thought about the movie. But it still came out. It still was released in the theaters. That's my story.
That was a terrible, terrible movie.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It's still cool to watch a movie like on Paramount on the lot, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. That was fun. That's crazy. I didn't know you were there at CineGear. We were there at the exact same time.
We went 3 years in a row with my film group. The first year we just did CineGear and a couple of other things. Second year we actually did CineGear and we went to Universal Studios. And this third year, I was the president of our film. Yeah, bless you. I was the president of our film society. It's called the Filmmaker Society. And I convinced our college to pay for us to go to Disneyland because we were going to start learning more about animation. I was like, oh, they have an animation thing there. We can go and learn about it. They paid for us to go.
Huh.
It's great. And CineGear. It was always fun,
I went to CineGear 2 years in a row for ICANN.
The last year I went was the year I started working for ICANN. Or Microsearch, Prime Camera, whatever you want to call it. Because when I went, I think it was only a month or so after I had started working there. And I remember working with you, George, on something to do there to look up stuff or like get something at CineGear for your guys' social media or something.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't go that year.
I took pictures and tweeted out, get people to come to our booth. That was basically my job there.
Yeah. There you go.
Who knows? I got fired from that job, so I don't know if I did it too well.
You got fired from that job because you're George.
It's true.
And they couldn't handle it.
Fortunately, I'm George.
He was running around screaming balls, and they just couldn't deal with it anymore.
But if I never started working there, you never worked there, we would have never met.
That's exactly right.
And then you and Justin would have never met.
That's true.
It's weird how things work out.
That's right.
And then, it's a weird coincidence of how things work out.
What else you guys been watching recently?
I saw Tenet recently.
Did you? Did you go to the theaters?
No, I went to I went to the drive-in theater for the very first time.
Oh,
and that's right. We went to Showboat Theaters out and out toward the Renfair places. I forget the name of it.
Magnolia.
It's in that Magnolia area. Yeah,
we driven by it on the way to Renfair.
So drive-in theaters probably not the best experience to watch Tenant. I'm gonna say that up front. The guy who took my tickets to go in the theater, he was wearing like he was like this very buff dude with a really big beard, and he had gun holsters with two guns, and he was wearing like this Pokemon shirt, like a pink tank top Pokemon shirt.
As you do,
his pitch voice on the planet.
Gotta catch 'em all.
No, he went, hey guys, it's going to be on the theater too. That's exactly what it sounded like. But he's like this huge, big, buff guy.
That's steroids for you, man.
Yeah.
So, how was the movie going experience there, though?
It was all right. Like, it started to rain, so, like, I had to keep my windshield wipers on.
Oh,
that sucks.
So, it wasn't, like, the best experience, but it wasn't, definitely wasn't the worst. It's better than going to a movie theater.
Yeah. Which we're not doing that yet.
Yeah, I don't want to go and, you know, just die or get sick or something.
I mean, how was the movie, though?
The movie, I have to watch it again to, like, be, like, 100% fair to it. But for the most part, the plot is a hot mess. Like, a lot of the plot doesn't make sense. For the most of the movie, I'm trying to figure out, wait, what's going on? Who's doing what now? What's the point of this scene? Why is that happening? I had to do a lot of that. And, like, most of the times when I'm asking myself that that particular thing, it's answered later in the movie. And I'm having to reconnect the shit while other shit's happening. So I'm, like, constantly battling, trying to think of what's going on. Because the movie does zero favors to, like, cluing you in on, like, how this world works and why it works, how these people connected to this world and why and what they're doing and why they're doing it. The movie does no favors for you.
Yeah, I've heard it's like the Nolan movie that you have to pay the absolute most attention to or you'll miss so much.
even if you pay attention, you're guaranteed to miss something. Like, I'm pretty sure there's shit that I've completely glossed over because
it's the Nolanist of all the Nolan movies, right?
I think Nolan has reached the apex of his career where George Lucas also reached, where no one has the ability to tell him no anymore.
Like M. Night Shyamalan at one point.
He's like, I want to make a movie where no one understands, and I want to go backwards in time and forwards in time at the same time. That's exactly.
Is that your Christopher Nolan?
Yeah. Is that good?
He probably handpicked the parking attendant, you know, to add to the experience.
Yeah, right.
And I need this guy directing cars. I need this
gentleman with a high-pitched voice to come in a pink tank top with a fucking Pokemon.
You might be onto something now.
No, I mean, like, the movie's full of spectacles. There's a lot of cool shit in it. But I don't know how great the story was. I don't feel like it was a very a good narrative story.
How was John David Washington?
He's fine.
Okay.
I think he's better in Ballers. Yeah. He doesn't show a lot of emotion here. Like, unfortunately, Nolan is very famous for all his movies being really cold and, like, heartless.
Yeah.
With the exception of, like, Interstellar. I think Interstellar has probably been his most emotional movie that he's ever made. But this one, like, has zero feeling and emotion to it whatsoever. Mm. It's very, like, tactical, and this is what we're doing, and this is how it's happening. The concept of time is mind-boggling. Like, it takes a hot second to figure it out.
Yeah.
And by the time where you I've think you understand it, they change the rules on you.
Now, so, I finished the Harley Quinn series. The animated series.
I haven't finished season two yet.
I freaking love this series. There was two things. One of the I posted it to the Metal Geek Society page. I took a video shot from the show where Poison Ivy and Kite Man were talking about their wedding, and they were sort of in a fight, and somehow it came to like, yeah, we're going to talk about like the top metal bands or something. He's like, he likes that, going to the bar and I want to talk about the best metal bands or something. And she's like, oh yeah, it's Appetite for Destruction. And he's like, oh, it's so funny that you think GNR is metal. I was like, that's great. that was written for me, you know. But everything about that show, and I am not afraid to admit, I do not like Harley Quinn as a character. I don't like any representation of her before. People tell me that the comic book version of her now is better, is more like this show, which I've never read a Harley Quinn comic, truthfully, but I fucking loved this show. It was smart. It was funny. I laughed more in this show than I have in a long time. Ron Funches should voice every cartoon character ever. His performance as King Shark was amazing. It was just a lot of fun. If you have not seen it because you're not a fan of the character, that's why I was very hesitant to go into it. But take that
King
away.
King Shark and Clayface make that show.
King Shark and Clayface, yes, for sure.
Yeah, they're basically the standouts to me in that show.
Alan Tudyk as Clayface and Joker. When Joker returns in the second season, spoiler, it's so perfect.
I as much as I love this show, I still find it like a pale imitation of Venture Brothers every time I watch it.
It is very much like Venture Brothers, which supposedly has been canceled.
It has been canceled.
It has been canceled, but now they're in talks of maybe bringing back a special or a mini season to HBO
Max.
It would be nice if it doesn't go the way of Metalocalypse. It would be nice if they finally get to like end the series on a good note.
Yeah, there's just so many plot threads that need to be ended.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'm still holding out hope that Brennan Small can somehow finish Metalocalypse.
I mean, after this so many years, I mean, I guess if Samurai Jack did it, anyone else can do it.
Well,
I mean,
what needs to happen is Metalocalypse is streaming on HBO Max. Everybody needs to go rewatch it over and over and over. And then they'll see how many hits are people watching it. And then they'll, maybe there's something here and they can do something to finish it off.
Well, I mean, the series ended and then 2.5 years later, Doomstar Requiem came out of nowhere. And it's been 2.5 years since then. So, yeah. I mean, there's still a good chance. I mean, it hasn't been too long for them to go back to it. But I would love another rock opera drama kind of thing or, you know, some kind of way for him to end the story.
I've seen your new mask. Of course, you're ready for it.
Yeah, I bought a Nathan Explosion mask. It's awesome.
Yeah, I watch Metalocalypse on HBO Go when I can't find anything else to watch.
I have been too.
I've been watching Children's Hospital on Hulu.
Oh,
that show is hilarious. Have you seen it before?
I've seen a couple of episodes. Yeah,
I wouldn't say hilarious. Like there's some great episodes that are hilarious, but overall, it's a slog to get through. There's a lot of bad episodes.
I don't know about that. I've been finding it pretty damn funny.
It's not my brand of comedy when it comes to Adult Swim.
Okay, maybe it's up my alley then, because I'm loving it. I love everybody on it.
It's hard for me to enjoy a lot of the live action series on Adult Swim.
Yeah, I think for me too. Like, I hate Tim and Eric. I don't find any redeeming qualities in anything Tim and Eric have ever done. Children's Hospital, much the same. I do like Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Same.
That was great.
I never saw that.
I love Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
But if you guys do have Netflix, there is a sequel to Children's Hospital. Have you seen this? Have you seen Medical Police?
No. I have seen the trailer, but I haven't.
So it's very much in the style, but it's longer episodes. So with Rob Hubel and the girl that was in Bill and Ted, the new Bill and Ted movie, Erin Hayes, I think that's her name.
One of the
yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
yeah.
She was on that Kevin James series that was Kevin Can Wait, maybe that it. She was there on the first season, and they killed her character off, or for some reason. But yeah, she is in that show. If you haven't watched Medical Police, it came out right around the beginning of the pandemic. And the whole purpose of the show was them fighting a pandemic. Just bad timing on that, but it's pretty damn funny too.
All right.
And a lot of the same characters from Children's Hospital make appearances in it because they pull them out of the Children's Hospital to become medical police.
Mm.
Yeah. The other thing I watched The Five Bloods on Netflix last weekend. I'm trying to go through and watch some of the Chadwick Boseman stuff I have not seen before.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. Did you watch The King yet? What's up?
Did you watch A Message from the King yet?
No, not yet. It's on my list. To watch list.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it. It's a war movie. Going back, you know, it's sort of interesting for the characters to go back and revisit where, you know, when they're in Vietnam. Man, Delroy Lindo went fucking crazy on this show, dude. Towards the end, it was. If you haven't seen it yet, it's on HBO. Netflix, and it's a Spike Lee joint. I have to say it like that. I enjoyed it, and Jonathan Majors was in it, which I didn't expect that. I'm like, oh, there's the dude from Lovecraft Country.
The new king.
That's right.
So I don't know King. What do y'all? Who is King, and what is what's the importance of
King the Conqueror?
King the Conqueror. He comes from a future where he's conquered the entire world.
He conquers time.
He conquers the entire universe.
Isn't he like related to Fantastic Four in some kind of way?
He was originally
in Avengers a lot. Yeah. He was a big Avengers baddie.
But his whole thing is that he has to go back in time to orchestrate time, so it gets to the point where he actually does become the conqueror who controls everything. So he's constantly going back in time and trying to rewrite history. And he's constantly getting defeated by the Avengers.
Yeah.
But I think Majors is a really good choice for the role.
They should have.
I like that. He's really good.
I've only seen him in Lovecraft Country and then now The Five Bloods, but what else has he been in? Have you seen anything else with him?
The only two things I've seen him in, too. Yeah, I just really like him in Lovecraft Country.
Yeah.
He's definitely got star potential. You know, he's great as a leading man.
Yeah, I think his choice as Kang is pretty spot on. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I know they're supposed to introduce him in the next Ant-Man movie that they said we're going to do.
I think he's going to be the big bad in the next Ant-Man movie.
Yeah, but I think he needs to be around longer than that. He needs to be the next Thanos, I believe.
He's going to be the next Thanos. I mean, he's one of the Marvel's like biggest villains they could possibly put in. Mm. They killed off Red Skull, so I mean,
yeah.
You know, we're probably not going to see the rise of Hydra or whatever again. Not anytime soon. Yeah, AIM would be cool. I'd love to see MODOK become like a major villain.
You know, MODOK is the main bad guy in that
future.
What's that?
They talked about MODOK being a big character in the future. I think that's why they canceled the MODOK cartoon series.
Maybe. That was supposed to be. MODOK is the main bad guy in the Avengers video game.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. You remember George, you remember we went to that Avengers thing in Dallas and MODOK was voiced by Kevin Smith?
Yes.
Weird.
That was weird.
It was weird because we're the only two adults at this thing definitely made for children.
Yeah, we were.
He's like, I'm a manufactured organism designed only for killing dudes. You want some weed?
He was more like high pitched and screechy, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. No, but I think there's a possibility we might get a nod to MODOK in the Black Widow movie, which would be cool.
If that ever comes out.
We got Taskmaster, which is great. Yeah. You know, he's one of my favorite villains of all time. But I think Kang, if they're going to do another big bad, another big cosmic kind of entity,
it needs
to be either one of like the cosmic entities or it needs to be Kang.
It needs to be, the real Galactus, not a cloud.
Yeah, like the Wanderer or Eternity or, you know, one of the big cosmic entities.
Because they're not afraid to go into that direction now, which is pretty cool.
I mean, they did Ego, kind of.
Yeah, kind of. In a way. In a roundabout way.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely going to come back, right? In some kind of fashion or form?
I would imagine so.
So, yeah, I mean, who else could they get besides Kang?
The only other thing I can think is the Magus, Adam Warlock's like all evil twin, basically.
Maybe they haven't really brought Adam Warlock completely.
They would have to do Captain Marvel 2 and make Adam Warlock a feature in Captain Marvel 2, and then have the Magus show up somehow and go after the Infinity Stones, and then revive Thanos, and then revive Ego, and then all kinds of chaos can break free. I would love to see that happen, but I mean, who knows? They're kind of done with the first wave of Avengers characters even. So
sort of, yeah.
If that happens, it's going to be like the Falcon versus the Magus. So
they're also talking about they could introduce like some of the young Avengers characters into this with the next Ant-Man movie, you know?
I mean, that's true and all that's well and good, but without the original Avengers being a part of it, it's kind of hard to imagine they can take on, you know, these cosmic threats without Iron Man and Captain America and Thor and like the main people.
Yeah.
Also, you have like the Eternals to worry about, like how they're going to bring that into the fold. And
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of, I mean, who knows? Some of these characters might show up in the Eternals now.
Yeah.
We don't know yet. Possible. They have time now.
Marvel has such a deep and rich history to draw from, and so many characters they can put in. I mean, there's like a no limit on what stories they can tell.
That's right.
I just hope they keep doing them in a good fashion.
I want to see a on-screen Kree Skrull war, and then like go into like maybe like secret wars and stuff like that.
That'd be cool.
The Beyonder would be awesome.
Kind of went in that direction with like especially with Captain Marvel. They kind of like laid the groundwork.
They did.
To make Secret Wars the next like big arc for them.
I think they did. Yes, for sure. I mean, do you remember Secret Wars, George? Do you ever read that?
The big crossover that came out like 5-6 years ago that I was reading.
Okay.
But there was too many storylines to keep up, so I just kind of read the main one.
Well, the original Secret Wars was that the Skrulls infiltrated Earth.
And
it was basically like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. They were replacing people with Skrulls.
Well, they did that recently again, too.
Yeah, and so there'd be like this whole thing of the heroes not knowing who they can trust because most Skrulls have powers. So they were
Civil War II.
Yeah, there's a lot they can do.
Civil War would be cool. Yeah, I mean they sort of touched on that a lot though. More they can do more though.
Yeah, we're still probably several movies away from figuring out what major plot line we're going to follow because, you know, Spider-Man just got unmasked. Carnage is about to appear in Venom. You know, we might have a Spider Island or a Maximum Carnage movie at some point. There's a lot of stuff that could happen. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that could happen.
They do Secret Wars. They could actually do the real reason why the Venom symbiote actually got here to Earth.
Spider-Man finds it in a machine.
Yep. the last thing I want to talk about before we go to we're going to do a topic today is they announced the release date and the pre-order date and the price of the Xbox Series X and was the Xbox Series S. So there's two different models coming out. One is digital only. It's not going to come with a disc drive, and it's less powerful than the Xbox Series X, which comes out. They're both coming out November 10th. The Series X is $499, and the digital only is $299.
And they're both totally irrelevant until they announce when Halo Infinite is coming out. So,
Halo Infinite is not going to come out for a while.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no point in buying one until Halo comes out. It's just the way it is.
Do you think Halo is their system seller?
Yeah, 100%.
Hasn't it always been?
I guess.
It always has been. Like, Halo is the flagship title for Xbox.
I'm pre-ordering. I'm going to get one on release date. That's all I know.
I mean, I looked at like the release titles and stuff, and there's just nothing that I'm like, oh man, I got to play that. But I'm going to play Halo.
What are some of the release titles that are coming out?
Carrie, you have a list?
I do not have a list, but Roller Coaster Tycoon is coming out for it. Or actually, Planet Coaster, I'm sorry. But
are you going to rush out and spend $500 on an Xbox and then $50 for Roller Coaster Tycoon?
Yes.
I mean, you just play Roller Coaster Tycoon.
You act like you don't know me.
I do. I can't justify that. You know, like, if I want to play Roller Coaster Tycoon, I'll download an emulator and play like some old version because they're all basically the same.
You saw Carrie's soul just leave his body right now.
So I'm looking at the Series X games that are going to be released at launch. So, I don't care about your cookies. Leave me alone, cookies. Let's see here. Halo Infinite is not. Fable. This is not. Come on, guys.
Fable? Like the old Fable?
Yeah, there's a new Fable game coming out.
There is, oh, yeah.
I love Fable 2. It's another one of Xbox's flagship titles, but it's been delayed as well.
All right, so here's a real list here. Xbox Series X launch day games. Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I'll probably play it on that one. Destiny's 2 Beyond Light. Dirt 5. Okay, not good so far. Gears Tactics. Tetris Effect Connected. Watch Dogs Legion. Yakuza Like a Dragon. Then that's it.
So yeah. Nothing.
I mean, Assassin's Creed's cool, but like, I don't need to pay $550 to rush to play Assassin's Creed.
As a recording, tomorrow is a big PlayStation 5, conf or whatever they're doing online. So I'm sure they're going to announce the date and the price and all that kind of information. So there's that to look forward to.
Getting me a PS5 on day one.
Are you? More than the Xbox?
Oh, yeah. I've always been a PlayStation first, Xbox later kind of guy, though.
I've heard that about you.
I've always been an Xbox first, PlayStation never kind of guy.
I really, really want to play the next Spider-Man game, and you can only do that on PS5. So
I want to play the next Ratchet and Clank game. So
I gotta say
that as well.
Yeah.
If Erica buys a PlayStation, I'll probably pick up Stray just to play it because that game looks fun to me.
Yes, that game does look cool.
Stray?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one about a cat?
Yeah, and you like solve problems and puzzles and stuff. It looks fun.
It's cool. Cat noir.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it. Let's move on to our topic of the evening. And I'm still an Xbox guy, so I'm getting in on day one.
Doesn't matter.
Why doesn't?
I'll get it when Halo comes out.
Halo is never coming out, dude.
I'll get it later when an important game for Xbox comes out. That's not Halo.
What would be that game for you?
I don't know. Something along the lines of like Red Dead or GTA 6 or something.
Indiana Jones?
I mean, if they came out with an Xbox exclusive of Indiana Jones, yeah, then maybe. But that's never going to happen.
Yeah, maybe not. All right, well, let's take a quick break. I'll be right back.
Balls.
Sparkly penis.
Okay, that's worse than balls, but okay. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Get your minds out of the gutter because we're going to talk about DC now. We're late to the party as usual. A couple weeks ago, they had the DC fandome.
Is that really only a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it was.
Time has no meaning over the last few months.
No.
Man, that felt like so long ago. It felt like a month ago.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, because San Diego Comic-Con was like a month and a half ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. It was a global experience. I experienced it as well as the rest of the globe, so I guess they were true. They did a kids one recently, too, where they showed a little bit more stuff, but the main one they did, they had a digital dome. And they had with Aisha Tyler hosting it.
Sure.
I didn't watch all of the events and everything that happened. I just watched some of the highlights and some of the trailers and stuff like that.
I just watched the highlights as well. I didn't watch the whole thing.
I was pretty invested in virtual San Diego Comic-Con, and I might be pretty invested in virtual New York Comic-Con, but I did not tune in for any of the DC fandom stuff at all. Like, I watched the trailers that got leaked, and that was about it.
Yeah, pretty much me too.
I mean, they weren't really leaked. They released them the same day they talked about it.
Yeah. Well, you know what I meant.
I mean, from what I understand, like, I watched the highlights, and I watched it, other people's, like, reaction to it, I guess. It seemed like it was better received than Comic-Con and all that jazz. That's just kind of
what I think you're right. Yeah. Let's since we didn't watch a lot of the panels and that type of stuff, let's talk about the highlights. What was your biggest highlight that they showed during the whole thing?
Suicide Squad kills the Justice League.
Oh, the video game?
Yes.
Not coming out till 2022 or something like that, but yeah.
It's so rare that a video game excites me. Like, I like video games and stuff, but they don't rule my life. I don't play very many games, and especially not that type of game. I typically play stuff like Call of Cthulhu and really dark, you know, horror games. But something about that trailer just looked so incredibly fun to me. And I like a lot of the secondary characters that are on Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think it's going to be a lot of fun. Like Harley Quinn, I can kind of take or leave. You know, we've already talked about that a little bit, but I'm just really excited to finally get to play as King Shark.
But no Ron Funches. I mean, come on.
Doesn't matter.
But see, you hit it on the head. It was a trailer, no gameplay. So we don't, but it's supposedly
cinematic trailer.
So it was supposedly it's made by one of the same teams that's worked on the Batman Asylum games.
And I love those games. Those games were all fun.
No, I think it was Warner Brothers Montreal, if I'm not mistaken.
You might be right. But they did announce the Batman. What are the new Batman game?
Gotham Knights.
Gotham Knights. Thank you. Where Batman is supposedly dead, using air quotes, and you get to play as Robin or Nightwing and Batgirl and maybe
Red Hood.
Yeah. And DLC characters to come.
It's a, from what I understand, it's a sequel to the last Rocksteady Batman game that came out.
So. Which are great. As long as there's no Batmobile levels in it, I'll be okay.
There's definitely going to be Batmobile levels.
Those are horrible.
Yeah, I know. I hated it.
I'm looking forward to both those games. I mean, the Batman games are always high quality, and taking those Suicide Squad characters and putting them in the same style of game seems like a win-win to me, you know?
Definitely.
Also, I was really excited about the Batman trailer.
This is my chance to be George. Were you really?
Yes, I was.
Why?
Because it looks great. It has like a gritty feel to it. It looks awesome. Robert Pattinson proved that he would make a great Bruce Wayne and a great Batman. And a few scenes that they shown, and the design for Riddler looks creepy as fuck. And fucking what's his face who plays Penguin looks weird but awesome at the same time.
Yeah, you didn't even know it was him.
I love Colin Farrell. It looked nothing like Colin Farrell. It's crazy how much, you know, and he made it his own too. He doesn't look like Danny DeVito, at least, you know.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Right.
I like the brutal take on Batman too. You know, I've always hoped for a more brutal Batman. Like, I like that they did that in Justice League and Batman vs Superman. They made old grizzled Batman very brutal and, you know, effective at combat. And I like that at the beginning of this, they're making him a little less effective at combat, because this is kind of like a prequel origin type story for Batman.
It's a second year as Batman.
Yeah, it's like early in his career. So they're making him not such a skilled fighter, but he's incredibly, like, brututal.
Is this based off the Batman? Is it based off of a certain series or a graphic novel or anything?
The rumor is they're pulling for a lot of the plot from Long Halloween and a couple of other comics.
Oh, really?
But they haven't released a lot of that information.
I mean, there's so much Batman mythos to draw from. It could be anywhere, honestly. And like this version of the Riddler looks really great to me as well, too. Riddler's my favorite of all. Well, I love Riddler. He's actually my favorite Batman villain. So I think they could do wonders with this. And then hopefully it'll be a trilogy and he'll be a recurring character. He won't just die in the first movie, because that's something that should have happened in all the Batman movies. The main villain should have been a recurring character throughout, and that's never happened. So it would be nice if that actually works out, where even if the Riddler gets caught and defeated in the first one, you know, there's a break at Arkham or whatever, and he's a major villain in the second time.
They never had breakouts at all at Arkham. Come on, nobody ever escaped her.
We got a little bit of that with Scarecrow, but it's not, you know, he wasn't Scarecrow in the other movies. He was Crane, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know. So anyway, I
think the trailer looks cool. It looks moody as fuck. I like the director. I like what he's doing.
Who's the director?
Fucking, you're gonna ask me his name. He did the last two Planet of the Apes movies.
Oh, okay. I enjoyed those quite a bit.
I'm gonna have to look up his goddamn name now.
I liked those a lot more than the first one in that trilogy.
I think it's Matt Reeves.
Okay, that sounds right.
That does sound right to my brain. Surprise. Matt Reeves.
He's not doing a Superman movie. one other person besides George got that joke.
Yeah. So he did Let Me In, remake.
Yeah.
War of the Planet of the Apes and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. And his directorial debut was Cloverfield. So.
Oh.
Well, I like all those movies. So.
Yeah. So he hasn't made a movie that I don't like. So there's that.
And who's Alfred in this movie?
I don't know.
You didn't come prepared, sir. Come on. You're the one, like...
Wouldn't it be great if Michael Keaton is Alfred and that's, like, under wraps or something and he shows up? That'd be amazing.
They didn't really show him in the trailer.
They're bringing Alfred, or Michael Keaton, back for the Flashpoint movie.
Andy Serkis is playing Alfred.
That's right, Andy Serkis. That's right. That's who it is.
Jeffrey Wright, who I thought was a great choice.
Gordon.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that a lot, too.
Hopefully he's not as incompetent as the Gordon in the Harley Quinn TV series.
John Turturro's playing Falcone.
Really?
Carmine Falcone?
That's a weird choice.
What? I think that's cool.
I think it's cool, too, but it's a weird choice.
That's cool.
And Zoe Kravitz is playing Selina Kyle / Catwoman.
Yep.
He's going to be the Falcone.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, that one scene where Robert Pattinson takes his helmet off and he looks all emo with his eyeshadowy makeup.
The guy liner?
Yeah. Although someone should call Nicolas Cage and say, hey, I did that shit first in Kick-Ass.
Yeah. I'm excited that season 3 of Doom Patrol is coming to HBO Max.
When's it release?
I don't know. They didn't say, but it's not coming to DC Universe app, which...
They're discontinuing the DC Universe
app. Yeah. I was about to say, are they really getting rid of it?
It's all going to HBO Max now, from what I heard.
Everything, yeah.
I mean,
I watched Doom Patrol finally. I watched both seasons. I really liked it.
Yeah,
I love it. Season 2 a lot less than I liked season 1.
I sort of agree with George there, but I might have to cut that out later. I don't want people to know that.
I feel like it just suffered from being slightly too long. Like, there was probably 3 episodes longer than it needed to be.
Season 2?
To tell the story. Yeah, season 2. Yeah. If they had just trimmed it a little bit, I think it would have been a great season. Hmm. Instead, it was just a really good season.
I'm waiting for Swamp Thing to show up on HBO Max so I can finally watch it.
Yeah, me too.
I think my favorite episode of season 2 is when they were fighting in that carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And they were fighting, like, their imaginary heroes, imaginary friends.
Yeah.
And Robot Man was, like, fighting, like, Jesus and stuff.
Yeah, that was great.
Pretty funny.
How could Jesus not be your imaginary hero?
Exactly. Right. You got it, man.
What else did they announce from DC? The Snyder Cut, which... goes to show you fanboys can win if they yell loud enough movie.
Yes, they did win. Well, we haven't seen it yet, so we don't know if we won yet.
We haven't. I guarantee you we didn't win. No matter what we get, we didn't win.
No.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with releasing it to make the people that want to see it happy. Like, you don't have to watch it, George. You saw the first one. It's not going to be that much more than the first one was. It's just going to be slightly different.
I totally agree with you. I think
it'll be different, really. I think it will.
Warner Brothers is going out of their way. They're, like, dumping more money into a 3-year-old movie at this point to make it a version of Snyder for him to be happy and his fans to show up.
Yeah, but think about it. It's a selling point for HBO Max because the only place you'll be able to watch it is HBO Max, and that's a big draw. That's good marketing right there.
They're going to make a ton. They're going to make all their money back and then some, no doubt.
I guess. It was already in the books for HBO Max before they even announced it. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, being an AT&T customer is great. You get it for free.
I got signed up for that now too.
I don't have cable. I just do internet here.
Yeah, me too. You can get it just from your phone. If you have AT&T's cell service, you can get HBO Max.
Oh wow, that's cool.
That's what we have. We don't have AT&T TV service. We just have the phone.
Mm.
Wonder Woman 1984, they showed a new trailer. They just announced earlier this week or late last week that it's been pushed back until Christmas Day.
I didn't watch that trailer because I'm actually really excited for that movie and I don't want to ruin any of it for myself.
Sure.
So, that trailer looked really bad compared to the last trailer that came out.
Really?
Yeah, in my opinion. Because I don't think the CG was done on Cheetah. And I think they were rushing it to show the release of DC fandom, whatever.
Maybe.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And so she looks like a CG cartoon.
She looks like Superman's mustache.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's what she is.
It just basically makes me think that it's going to be like the same misstep that they did with the first Wonder Woman, which really like made the movie fall apart for me, which is like the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of potential there. Gal Gadot is as awesome as Wonder Woman. I have hope for this movie because I'm really excited to watch it. I hope
maybe
they don't.
maybe it'll be a better baddie fight than the first movie.
It has to be.
I hope it is.
It has to be. Like, I don't know. I like Wonder Woman. The movie's really great. Like, except for the last few minutes, like, yes. George said, the Ares fight's so bad.
It ruins like a perfectly great movie.
Yeah,
it really does. But it's the best.
I'm cautiously optimistic that DC might finally have things going in their favor, though. I mean, the Batman trailer does look good. Wonder Woman, I'm excited about. So maybe we'll get some quality movies and not missteps like they're so well known for.
Then we also got Shazam 2 to look forward to.
Yeah.
Well, Shazam 1 was a lot of fun.
I like Shazam 1. It's great.
Isn't it Shazam 2 Electric Boogaloo?
No, not this time.
Shazam 2 with Black Adam, which is going to be cool.
Actually, it's not. It's Shazam 2 and Black Adam are two different movies.
Well, Black Adam's the villain in Shazam 2, right?
No, he won't be until Shazam 3.
Oh.
They said. But Black Adam is, they're working on that now too.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think it's like family ties or family matters is what Shazam 2 is about. Like, I guess they're all have power. Everyone saw Shazam at this point, but all of them have powers at the end of Shazam, and I guess they all have to figure that out in Shazam 2. Wait, I don't know.
Spoilers, what?
Yeah, I'm sure at the end of the movie they're going to give all the powers back to Billy, and then the third movie he'll probably learn how to use everything like he should and actually start fighting villains.
So what do we think about the Flash movie?
Oh yeah, they talked about how that's definitely going to be a Flashpoint.
They didn't show anything, but they talked about Flashpoint. You're going to have Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck's last appearance as Batman.
Yeah. And they said they're going to get Ben Affleck, too.
I just said that.
Oh, you did? I thought you said Michael Keaton.
No, Ben Affleck.
He said both. Both yeah. Figured.
But I said it's going to be Ben Affleck's last appearance as Batman.
I thought you said Michael Keaton.
Then apparently the TV version of The Flash is supposed to be on there, too. Grant Gustin.
Yeah.
I mean,
so this is basically their way to like, hey, we're going to do a hard reset on this whole DC universe thing.
Yeah.
And we're going to start from scratch.
Well, they've already said they're not the DC, what extended universe, what they're calling it, is sort of like non-existent. It's not a real thing.
It's just so fractured. I mean, there's so many movies that are in different timelines and not in the same space.
Yeah.
I mean, the only movies that are in the same space are Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman and the Justice League. Everything else is kind of like off doing its own thing. Even the timelines don't make sense. Like Aquaman, where it fits into Justice League is awkward. And then, the Flash movie is going to hopefully reset everything and then we can just start anew and then maybe they can actually figure out what the hell they're doing and make a cohesive universe like Marvel did.
So let's talk about my favorite teaser that they showed. That's the Suicide Squad movie.
They just showed behind the scene footage, right? That's all they showed.
No, they showed a teaser. Well, they showed clips and stuff like that.
Right, but it was mostly behind the scene footage of them filming, if I remember correctly.
Well, there was a announcement, sort of like an announcement trailer, where they showed who was going to be in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm sort of talking about.
Everybody under the sun is in this movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's pretty much like, oh, we feel terrible that you got fired from Disney. We're going to definitely be in your next movie. And then Disney felt terrible that everyone backed him up, so they rehired him.
I mean, the cast does seem great, and I am a big fan of James Gunn. So I think he's going to – the first movie was fucking horrible. This one I think is taking it in the right direction because I've read Suicide Squad, and it's James Gunn is the perfect person to do something like that.
I mean, as long as it's a Suicide Squad movie and not a Harley Quinn movie. Like, the problem with the first movie is that they tried way too hard to make it a Harley Quinn movie and a Suicide Squad movie and a Deadshot movie where they made Deadshot, a part of the universe. Like, if it had just been more
and a Joker
focused,
movie,
it would have, and stick in, like, random Batman and Joker elements. Like, if they had just made it what it should have been, it would have been fine. And like the Harley Quinn Birds of Prey movie, I actually thought that was pretty fun. But it's a Harley Quinn movie. Like it was a standalone thing. Like if they
10 minutes of that fucking movie,
I fell asleep during it.
it does get better. Like you should give it another try. I enjoyed it. I think it's fine to have Harley Quinn. I just don't think that she should be the main focus of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when you're including this many characters, she cannot be the main focus of everything.
True that.
People that are going to be in the Suicide Squad, we have a couple recurring people. So Joel Kinnaman returns as Rick Flagg, Viola Davis. So you have Idris Elba, who's Bloodsport. Margot Robbie is returning as Harley Quinn. Sean Gunn, Pete Davidson is Blackguard. I don't know. I don't remember that character. Jai Courtney is back as Captain Boomerang. Nathan Fillion is in it. Steve Agee. David, I can never say this guy's last name. Dask Malchian. He was an Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. One of the crew. Alice Braga, John Cena, Peter Capaldi's in it, Michael Rooker. It's a pretty damn good lineup.
Yeah, but it's like a weird like amalgamation of characters. You got like Polka Dot Man.
Yeah. You know, Arm Fall Off Man.
Yeah, like what the fuck is that? And then they have like a raccoon boy or a raccoon man or something like that.
James Gunn, they gave James Gunn carte blanche, and he just went through DC's omnibus and picked out all the most obscure characters he could find.
That's right.
Because, I mean, really, anybody could be a part of the Suicide Squad. All they have to do is be a criminal.
But look what he did for Guardians of the Galaxy. Nobody knew who the fuck those characters were when they started working on that. And now they're like household names, you know?
That's very true.
Sure. So,
because that first movie was a solid hit and had a good script on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Guardians 1. I still love it. I think about it every once in a while.
Oh, how cute.
Like the one that got away.
Yeah. Well, every time I see posters for Guardians, I'm like, why do I not have a Guardians poster? I love Guardians. And then
one of my favorite posters on my wall is a Guardians poster.
I know. Maybe I'll get one. We'll see.
George and I actually waited hours for the sneak preview of that movie.
I was there too. We watched it together, remember?
We watched it together.
Well, you were there.
The marquee.
That was the second time I met George.
Oh, yeah, that's right, huh? We left work early or something. I don't remember how we got there. We like pretended we had to go do something.
Yeah, it was something along those lines.
Old days. So hopefully DC, I mean, they got some good stuff on the horizon, so
Just don't fuck it up is basically what it is.
Yeah. Don't bring what's his name back? That director guy.
Zack Snyder?
Yeah.
Leave Zack Snyder in the dust after this whole Snyder cut shit. Just leave him be. Just let him die out there.
Watchmen 2. It's coming.
It's not.
No. There's not even a second season of the TV series.
As far as you know.
Yeah, it's true. As far as we know. All right. I think that's it. Let's move on to what's tickling our geek. Oh, wait a minute. Before we do that, we have George Hates Metal to get to. I have something pulled for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll be right back. George, we're to your segment, George Hates Metal.
It's so a segment everyone's desperately waiting for.
Yes, everybody loves.
The only reason people listen is to hear if George likes the songs or not.
I don't know.
Keeper of everything that needs to be good or bad is what it does.
So the band chosen was a band called Eshtador. They were brought to me last week. by Justin here. He's like, oh, there's a band you might like. I'm like, oh, okay. Tell me about them.
They're 95% great.
Okay, we'll get to that. Why do you say 95%?
Okay, so like they're melodic blackened death metal, which is like one of my favorite genres, obviously. And on top of that, their theme for the entire album is Lovecraftian. They're talking about cosmic horrors and shit, which, you know, I love. But it's so strange because the first four songs of the album are progressively heavier and just awesome. And then you get to the fifth track, which is this cover of a glam song.
It's a Firehouse cover from the band from the 80s. Glam, it's glam metal to the nth degree, for sure.
I mean, they've got death metal growls. They've got like a heavier tone to it than the original song had, for sure. But it's still like high-pitched glam singing mixed with the newer stuff.
It's very power metal-y.
It's strange as hell, and I don't like it.
I think if they moved it, sequenced it differently in the album, it probably wouldn't bother you as bad.
Oh, absolutely not. Like, if they had the first four tracks and then tracks 6 through 11 or whatever, and then put this at the end and said bonus track or cover track or whatever, like, bands do that all the time. They'll do, like, you know, 10 or 11 of their own original songs and then cover something that's completely not their sound.
On one of their previous albums, they do a Survivor cover with Bjorn Speed on it, as well as Per Nilsson.
I hadn't actually heard that. I need to go back.
Yeah, you might
that.
Like that.
I probably will, because it's Speed, but, you know, it depends on the placement, too. I mean, where's that song? In it, though. Huh?
But Bjorn's in it.
Bjorn, exactly.
I mean, he's pretty much the best vocalist alive, so I'll listen to anything Speed does, you know?
So, what do you think of this song, the first song that you heard? The song that we picked was, let me pull the same song, Lowborn Bastard, and the album's called From the Abyss.
George, opinion? Pretty good. The music style is right up my alley. It took a little getting used to the vocals, but once you kind of get into that groove, it's not bad. I think if I listen more to it, I'd probably be more comfortable with the vocalist. But for the most part, it's good. I'm definitely going to check them out more when I get a chance.
They're a South American band. I know that much for sure. So you said black and, you know, death metal. I definitely hear some mellow deaths in their stuff. And there's a lot of times where you'll pull out different bands. Like, there's times where they sound just like fucking Arch Enemy. There's times where they sound like Hypocrisy.
Yep.
I love this band, and I don't mind the cover. It's not my favorite metal cover of all time, but because I don't really know the original that well either. But it does, you know, it's not... I don't have as much hate for it as Justin does.
I don't hate it. I just, it feels like such a strange placement, and it interrupts the flow of the album, in my opinion. Like, it's what's going to keep this from being a top 10 album for me. Like, you know, I pay attention very closely.
What's that one fucking song?
Yeah, I mean, it's the truth, though. Like, I take listening to my music very seriously, and I make, you know, thorough lists throughout the year. And I try really hard to narrow down what my favorites are so I can give, you know, good recommendations to people, because I have a lot of people that ask me what I listen to. And yeah, I try really hard to make a good top 10 list, and this would absolutely be on it if it wasn't for that one song.
Is it that bad that it's going to take it out of your top 10?
Yeah, it definitely is. 100%. I have... if it wasn't that song, it would definitely be in my top 10. It's enough that it detracts from it.
So one of the vocalists on that song is from another band that I really enjoy called Mirass.
What about my ass?
Nothing about your ass.
I like my Wrath too. They're decent, but I mean, their sound is completely different from this, you know? And if you go in listening to my Wrath, you know what you're getting. It's not unexpected shoehorning like this is.
Okay. They just want to have fun, Justin. Let them have fun.
I'm all for fun. There's, you know, they must have owed somebody a favor or something to put this song right in the middle of their album.
Maybe. I still think someone fucked up and they just decided to go with it.
I mean, that's possible, too. It could just be a mistake.
Now, these guys are, where are they from? They're from, I don't even, Colombia. The Colombian. So you definitely, there was a lot of a thrash element. You can hear where these guys' influences just fucking lie, man. A lot of, you know, like thrashy. So if you're a fan of like Sepultura, any of those that type of stuff, yeah, I think you're gonna dig these guys a lot. They do have a lot of a little bit of symphonic elements into their music, so a lot of.
It's a lot of stuff. I mean, I called it blackened melodic death metal, but like it's really a lot of stuff mixed together.
It's an amalgamation of all everything that you love about metal, except 80s hair metal, apparently.
Yeah, I can do without the glam metal. That's what I'm saying.
Do you have any recommendations for us this week, George?
As far as music goes,
yeah.
I'm not prepared. So talk amongst yourselves till I figure that out.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to let you talk about the one you sent us just before we started, Carrie. But my recommendation for the week is Ages Uncrown.
Yes, I've actually been listening to that.
Oh, my God. It's melodic black metal. It's one of my favorite albums this year. The more I listen to it, the more I like it. It's pretty much all I've been listening to for the last week while I've been working out. It's definitely a top 10 album for me. I don't know where yet exactly, but it's in there.
No 80s,
gotta check it out.
No 80s hair metal cover to ruin it for you?
No.
All right. So I came across a Greek metal band last week.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, they're Greek. I have to listen to them regardless if they're good or bad, right?
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
I've mentioned Greek bands to you and you're like, I don't like them.
Yeah. And I still listen to it. Doesn't mean I like it. I just said I still listen to it. And I came across a song that I really like, and you guys should check it out. They're called Katavasia, Katavasia.
I've never heard of this.
And the song that I came across was Typhonic Oracle.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah, I heard that last week while I was working out.
Yeah, I came across my one of my playlists that I follow, and I checked it out. Turns out those guys are Greek, and I was like, oh, cool, I should listen to it more. And they came out with a new album called Magnus Venter.
I think I had that added to my keep listening to playlist. It's not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's not the worst thing ever.
Cool. I'll have to check it out. I haven't heard it yet.
I'm going to pause you for a second. Yeah. Speaking of Greece, you know, I've been watching all kinds of random crap because we've been on quarantine. I watched this movie on Hulu called Shirley Valentine. Have you ever seen that, George?
No, can't say that I have.
It's a comedy movie from the 80s about this bored housewife who's like slowly going insane and this husband who just, you know, treats her like crap all the time. And so one day she's like, screw this. I'm just going to go on vacation to Greece with my friend. And when she gets to Greece with her friend leaves with some guy she met on the plane and leaves her there alone. And so she wanders through Greece by herself, meeting all these strange men and stuff. And every single one of them reminds me of your father.
Wait, what's the name of this movie now?
It's called Shirley Valentine. You need to watch it.
It's on Hulu, you said?
It was either Hulu or Amazon. I think it was Hulu.
Was your dad in movies and you didn't know about it, dude?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
It's a slice of life movie, but I could not stop laughing every single time a man talked in that movie.
So there's two things I want to talk about that's metal for me. First one is this band that I've listened to before previously, but something about this new album has just pulled me into them so hard. This is a band called Turisaz, Turisaz. Hope I'm saying that correctly. But the album is called Reincentive. This is, for me, top 10 album of the year. It's death's doom to the best degree. I am loving this album so much. Progressive is hell. I love this album so much.
I like the album a lot. It's just poorly mixed. That's my only real complaint about it. The vocals are way too low in almost every track. And
I can see that.
It really hurts the album. Like if it was mixed better, it would probably be a top 10 album for me too. Cause I do really enjoy all the musical elements.
Yeah.
It's just the vocals are so hard to enjoy because of how they're mixed. It's probably going to keep it from being top 10 for me, but it's a great album. If you can get past that.
Apparently I got past it. I really enjoy the album a lot. And I went back and listened to some of the previous stuff. The last release I did before was an acoustic show, which was, it's right up my alley when they cover Amorphis, Anathema, and Wood the Vipray on their acoustic show. I'm like, all right, these guys know exactly what my style is, and they went for it. I'm digging these guys a lot.
Yeah, they're great.
And the other thing, go ahead.
That's not the band I thought you were going to talk about. I am going to talk about that.
Okay. One of the best marketing things that I think I've ever seen in my life. There's a brand of water out there called Liquid Death Mountain Water. Okay, and somebody tagged me in this tonight, and they've put out a metal album that the lyrics are actually negative reviews and comments they've got from people, and they've made fucking like killer metal music out of these.
Yeah, I mean they're like really heavy tracks, and it's like, your water sucks. Die in a fire.
It is one of the best things ever. I'm gonna pull up the website real quick, and you could actually buy this on vinyl. It's streaming on Spotify, the entire album. It's really tickling my geek this week.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I was listening to it right before we started recording. I've never actually tried that water. Carrie and I were talking about that too. He said they sell it at Whole Foods. I know. For a while they had a soul contract. You could like sign on their website and sign away your soul.
I did that today because Joe Manganiello did that on a little preview. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that too. Their tagline is called "Murder Your Thirst."
Talking about the actor Joe Manganiello.
Yes,
whatever the fuck his name is.
So their big thing is they're against plastic water bottles. So all their water is in cans, which is easily biodegradable. It's a lot better than plastic water bottles. One of the other things I wanted to talk about on the website, they have a killer baby namer, right? Go back in here. You can actually go in there and upload your own, they take a picture of the baby in the womb. What's it called? Mammogram or whatever. Not a mammogram.
Ultrasound?
Ultrasound. Thank you.
We need to make a website. Upload your mammogram.
Upload your mammogram. I actually had an uncle in
we'll name those babies.
I had an uncle in Chicago. That was his job. He was actually a mammogram technician. And I was like, so it got stuck in my head. But you go in there, you put in your last name, you can put in your gender and then your desired occupation, and it gives you your baby a killer baby death metal name. If you actually give your baby this name on a birth certificate, they will give you free water for 18 years for the baby's life.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. And their tagline is "Murder Your Thirst," of course. But the Liquid Death Greatest Hates. It's phenomenal, guys. If you need to go out here and listen to it. Song titles include "Huge Tools," "Every Single Person Involved," "Reconsider Your Life Choices," "Fire Your Marketing Guy," "Dumbest Name Ever for Water," "Go Get Slaughtered on Shark Tank," "Selling Your Soul is Deplorable," "This Crap is Pure Evil," and my favorite track, "Bad Marketing." All the lyrics are based on people's negative comments to them, and it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's definitely a smart stroke of marketing genius. I mean, their company's already really geared towards horror fans and heavy metal fans anyway, so they're definitely pandering to their fan base already, but it's going to be like their thing. They're exclusive water for people that, you know, have a backbone.
That's right. And want to save the planet too at the same time and be metal.
Yeah.
Metal
chef.
That's right. I haven't tried it yet. Apparently they do sell it at, Whole Foods. I don't really go into Whole Foods very often, but I'm going to go buy a can and see if I like it or not. Cause for me, I'm very picky with my water. Right? What's that?
It's just water, right?
It's just water, yeah. Mountain water.
Okay.
So
it's Satan's piss.
It's Satan's piss. It's from the Austrian Alps, so.
All right.
There was a whole thing on Netflix. There's a show about saving the planet and all this kind of stuff. I can't think of the actor's name now. Do you remember that, Kim? The voice from the other room? What's that? Zac Efron. Thank you. He has a show on Netflix where they go around the world and there's a whole episode though about water. And they go to this guy in L.A.
Oh, I watched that episode. That show is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it is pretty good. I can't think of the name of it now, but they go to this water sommelier in... Show. What's that?
The Zac Efron travel show. That's what it's called.
They go to a water sommelier in, like, L.A. and, like, all these different types of waters and stuff like that, like, expensive water. And you don't think about it, but apparently all the shit that we drink, it's, like, so many chemicals and stuff into it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not good for you. But yeah. All right, so what's tickling your geek this week?
Justin, you go first.
Well, if you haven't seen it yet, I'm sure there are still some avenues to do so. The Behemoth live stream in Absentia Day that happened last week.
Yes.
It was a masterpiece of what a live streamed metal show can be. Just awesome from beginning to end. They had all kinds of cool shit included in it.
Cinematic as hell, beautiful, beautifully shot.
Yeah, it was all done in this abandoned church, and they had like flames everywhere and people dangling from hooks and, you know, interpretive dance and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Real flames, not like Vakken flames.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Really awesome.
Glad I got to watch that. It was definitely a fun night. Other than that, mostly just posters. It's kind of my whole life right now is collecting posters.
You're going to need a bigger house.
Well, I got a flat file now.
Yeah, so I know.
You can just trade them out now is the whole thing.
Now the big thing is I'm working on buying spotlight frames, so I can trade them out easily.
Where are you finding your spotlight frames at?
The spotlight store. It's like spotlightframes.com, I think.
All right, guys. Save this for your collecting poster podcast.
Well, no. Have you actually know what a spotlight frame is, George?
It's the one that they use in movie theaters, right? That has the hinges and you swing them out.
Well, they open up so you can just easily swap out the front loading frames, basically.
Yeah.
The plexiglass or whatever comes out and you sandwich your poster between it and then swap them out super easy. But there's a company that makes them. And actually, if you use the code MondoTrader, you can get 10% off your order. So
not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor, no. But it's
they could be.
You'd have to get in the poster game, though, Kerry.
I don't know if I got too many games I'm in right now.
But yeah, they're really cool frames. I'm waiting for my first batch to come in. I bought three. I'm going to test them out and see how they look. Supposedly, like the mat on the front kind of. It's anti-glare, so it's not as clear as typical plexiglass or glass would be, but it also keeps your posters safe because they're anti-UV and all kinds of stuff, too. And the ease of swapping things sounds really nice, especially now that I am growing my collection.
How much do they cost?
I think it was like $55 a frame for a 24 by 36.
Wow.
But
I know.
You do get 10% off, so not too bad.
I'm happy with my cheap $5 Walmart frames.
On the other side of that, though, I did buy some of the Michaels 24x36s when they were 3 for $60 last week. So
I should be getting my Monkeys Alex Ross print this week because it's shipped.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So you're already in the poster game.
No, yeah. Very small. Not like you guys. Not like you guys.
But you could be.
No, I can't. I don't want to be. I don't have room for it. I don't have the no. I'm good. Don't give me any, because then I will get started.
Well, damn! There goes Christmas.
No.
There's gonna be posters for everybody. For
speaking
Christmas.
Of, we're gonna need a bigger boat. I finally saw Jaws for the first time this weekend.
Wow.
I know I've seen
only
bits and
40 years late on that, Kerry.
45. I know I've seen bits and pieces of it here over the years, but I never sat through the entire movie, you know?
Watch that movie every 4th of July.
Do you really?
You watch, You watched The Shining for the first time not that long ago,
That's
too,
true.
Right?
It's true.
You're like way far behind on horror movies, man. You got to catch up.
So you finally watched Jaws from beginning to end.
I watched The Babysitter. Does that count?
No, because it's not that good of a movie.
Yeah, I'm with George on that.
So what do I need to watch next?
Have you seen Poltergeist?
I've seen Poltergeist.
Okay. Have you seen Phantasm?
Yes.
Halloween?
Of course. I like slasher films.
Okay, so have you seen The Burning?
No, never even heard of it.
Have you seen The Burning, George?
Maybe, probably. It sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay, so it's got a young Jason Alexander in it, George Costanza.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so weird because George's best friend, Andrew, looks exactly like young George Costanza does.
He does. He acts like him, too.
So, you know, I feel sorry for Andrew in about 20 years.
Nice.
Is it from 1981?
Yeah.
No, I've never seen this before.
It's pretty fun. You should check it out.
Oh, definitely do that. I need stuff for... We started our Halloween movie watching already with Catherine and I. That's basically what's tickling my geek, is that we're decorating the house for Halloween early. We're following Disney rules for fall and Halloween decorations. And so we started watching...
Wait a minute. What are the Disney rules for...
Yeah, I never heard there were Disney rules.
Oh, basically, like September 11th or 15th or something like that is when they start decorating for Halloween.
Oh, gotcha.
They start... In normal years, they start decorating in August now. No, I'm serious, because they start the Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. Normal years, last year, it started, in August, so...
And really? Kroger's already putting out Valentine's Day candy, so...
Are you serious? But you're not going to get a peep, or was it? Is that the right?
The peeps?
The peeps are not going to be available this year?
I don't know. I don't eat peeps anyways.
Oh, those chocolate-covered peep ones are awesome.
I've never had a chocolate-covered one.
They're good. All right, go back. Okay, George,
go ahead. What do you have on your Halloween list this year? Because I haven't done mine yet. I'm waiting for
October. Right now, we're just kind of we're coming across something Halloween-y or fall-ish. In the vein. So far, we started off with Tim Burton's Sleepy Hollow, which apparently I have not seen in a very long time.
I don't think I saw it since it released.
Yeah, me too.
I don't have either.
I saw it in the theaters.
Really good movie. Way better than I remember it being. Way gorier, too. I didn't remember it being that gory.
And Johnny Depp was in that one, right?
Yeah.
Well, never mind. It's a Tim Burton movie, of course.
That was, at that time, that was only their third movie together.
Yeah.
Then we watch the Adventures of Ichabod Crane on Disney Plus, which spurred us to watch Sleepy Hollow on Netflix. And then I rewatched Over the Garden Wall. And then we started watching Silent Hill, which I obviously have not seen since that been released either. I don't remember much of that movie, apparently.
I love the first one. The first one's great.
I'd never seen the sequel.
They made sequels?
Yeah, they made a sequel. Silent Hill Revelation.
Actually, I do remember that.
Really cool, because in the theater, we saw it in 3D, and it's like raining ash the whole time. So the ash was like coming out towards you.
Oh, that's cool.
That was actually a really cool effect, seeing it that way, but it's not nearly as good on regular DVD.
And I don't know, so now we're just kind of looking what to watch next after we finish Silent Hill. I'm gonna definitely probably check out The Burning, because I think that's available on Shudder, and so I'm gonna be utilizing my Shudder a lot more in the next coming weeks.
Cool. Yeah, we usually watch 30 Days of Halloween and then finish with a Halloween movie on actual Halloween. And Erica and I split the list. She'll come up with 15 and I'll come up with 15. We'll randomize it, and then we start watching on the first. So it's about time for us to start thinking of our list too, but we haven't done it yet.
Y'all should give me a list.
I'm just kind of going off of stuff either I haven't seen in a really long time or stuff that I've never seen in general.
I do the same thing, and then I occasionally include a couple of favorites, but I'll post it on Facebook, so you can definitely steal it if you want, Carrie.
I don't know. I can't promise I'm going to watch everyone, but yeah. I mean, y'all should come up with a list for me. Just a separate list, you know?
Of like must see horror movies?
Why not?
I'm game for that.
Have you seen Night of the Creeps?
No.
Oh, Carrie, dude, you need to.
I've seen Carrie, yes. I've seen that movie.
Okay, that's a good one. Have you seen Chud?
I know it, but I've never seen it.
You should watch Chud.
I know. I've seen Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
It's okay.
What about Return of the Living Dead?
Yes. Okay. I've seen all the Living Dead movies.
No. This is not a Living...
It's not part of the Night of the Living Dead storyline. Yeah. It's Return of the Living Dead.
Return of the Living Dead.
Is that the one from the 80s that has like Anthrax in the soundtrack?
Maybe.
Yeah, it is.
I've seen
They're like hanging out in the graveyard and like punk rock chicks getting naked.
Yep.
Dude, those movies are awesome. Yeah, but definitely check out Night of the Creeps if you've never seen Night of the Creeps.
Nope. Yeah,
like James Gunn references that movie quite a bit his movie.
I'll make you a list of must-see horror movies, Carrie.
I've never seen Slither. I know that much for sure. I was wanting to see that.
It's what? Okay.
Slither's fun.
It's okay. I don't think it's like a have-to-see movie, but it's okay.
It's a lot of fun. I made Catherine watch it. She hated it.
So, Tickling My Geek, I have two quick things. One is season 2 of The Mandalorian. The trailer got released, and I'm excited for that. October 30th.
Yeah, hopefully it's better than the last season.
Okay, moving on.
More diverse is the right.
and my birthday is coming up next month.
All to ask, I just want a better story.
My birthday is coming up next month, and we're going out of town for a few days. We're just going to go rent a hotel and just get away from Houston.
Cool, man.
So we found this really cool hotel in Austin. I don't know what we're going to do. Probably nothing, because there's really nothing you can do during a pandemic, but we're just going to go and get away. It wasn't too expensive, but they have a pool and you can go, they have an area. It's sort of like a motor lodge.
Staying in downtown or
it's a little bit more north. It's called the Lone Star Court. Pretty cool. So it's
heard of that. I don't think I've been to it, but I've seen it pop up when I look for,
yeah. It looked very cool. There's like old, you know, like it's set up like an old school motor court type of deal, you know, and it's all the retro furniture in there. And there's like a fire pit. You can just go out there and they give you stuff for s'mores and you can just go out there and make them. And there's like a pool and there's plenty of restaurants where you can just go pick up food and bring it back and just hang out, you know, just have a couple of days off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fun.
So we're going to do that. I'm excited for that.
Cool.
When's your birthday again, Carrie?
The middle of the month, on the 16th.
Not next month, right?
Yeah, in October. Not tomorrow.
Yeah, I was like, not tomorrow.
Not tomorrow. Yeah. Not yet. Don't make me too old yet. All right, I think that's about to wrap it up. I have a couple of housekeeping things I want to talk about. I was able to reacquire the domain for metalgeeks.net. So we own that again. And I've been working on the website a little bit here and there. I've updated the design of it and I'm going to be playing with it a little bit more to make it more user friendly. Just make it a better experience. So if you want to find out more, you can go to metalgeeks.net and metalgeekspodcast.com. They can take you to the same website. And of course, if you want to find out more about each episode, we'll have all our show notes in there and that type of stuff. So some of the things we do talk about, we can link to it now. It's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, we're all over the social medias at Metal Geeks on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Haven't jumped in any other social medias yet. No TikTok or any of that kind of stuff. So
give it some time.
I'm too old for that shit. I'm like,
yeah, right. Carrie's secretly like trying to stay young by doing TikTok dances.
No. I've had to research it for work, but I'm not getting into it. I've downloaded it, but I'm not really doing anything with it. We're not going there. That's all I got to say. Of course, you can find us on all kinds of platforms where you download your podcast. We're on iTunes, or I'm sorry, Apple Music, and Spotify, and Stitcher, and I've been submitting to all these different ones too. So look out for more. It's just, we'll have a link. I think I'm going to be working on that, putting all of that on the website too. You can, of course, find us on esonetwork.com, where you can find all the cool podcasts that make up the network. And you can find the RSS feed there as well, which include all the cool shows that make up the ESO network. Still excited and proud to be part of that network. What about you guys? Where can we find you on the interwebs? Not at the same time.
Well, they could if they wanted to. I mean,
we do have some shared accounts.
That's true.
If you want to find me, you can find me as @comicaljc on Twitter or Instagram or Justin Corbin on Facebook. If you'd like to check out our podcast that George and I do together, which we have not done in almost a year, you can find it at mindfudgecomedy.com or on any podcatcher. There's some really good, fun, old episodes you can go back and listen to. And eventually, we'll get together and make some more. But because Andy doesn't know how to work a computer and his schedule is crazy, I don't know when that will be.
Nice.
You can find me on all the social medias at George Tripsis. I'm more active on Twitter now, basically just giving tirades about what I think about movies and all that jazz. But more importantly, you can find Justin and I's comic book, Speak No Evil, at Grey Bear Comics. That's G-R-A-Y. We are currently working on getting the next two issues out so we can get a full trade out to people, kind of try to make up for lost time while we can. And so keep your ears on the horizon for something about that.
Very cool. Last thing I forgot to mention is I'm going to be part of this new thing happening here called the Houston Indie Podcast Society. And we are live streaming our first episode next Tuesday on the 22nd of September. It's myself and Ming Chen from Comic Book Men and many, many, many podcasts. And it was started by a guy named Jared McClellan, who's a local Houston podcaster. This is a way to support the local Houston podcast scene. Each month, their different show is going to be invited on for interviews and talk about podcasting. It's just a podcast fun time festival type thing, you know, just something cool and new to do. When there's not a pandemic, there's plans to have like a monthly meeting with this type of stuff where the shows can do live podcasts and things like that. So there's that.
Are you going to be meeting at the Coral Sword here in Houston?
Yes, I think it will be done at the Coral Sword, which is, you know, co-owned by Ming Chen and one of the Astros, I think. I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
Hunter Pence.
Yeah, I don't know his name either. Yeah, Hunter Pence, that guy.
I'm not a sports guy, so I don't really know.
All right.
And the last thing is I want to mention is check out the latest episode of MSRcast. It was our 15-year anniversary. Yes, I said that correctly, 15 years. Go to MSRcast.com or just search for MSRcast on your podcatchers and check it out. It was a lot of fun. We had every single co-host of MSRcast that was ever there on one episode. And it worked out better than I thought it was going to be. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And I guess that leads me to the real last thing I want to say. And that's keep it metal.
And keep it...
balls.
Keep it America's penis.
No, for real. What is it? I forgot.
America's penis. No. Penis.
It's not.
Shadowy dick.
Sparkly penis.
It's not. What is it really?
We need to see Homelander's dick now.
There we go. Eventually it's going to happen.
I'm sure that will happen. They're going to keep it geeky.
Definitely keep it geeky.
Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to Podcasting has this to say about the weekly Earth Station 1 podcast. Mildly entertaining, not nearly as exciting as the popping of bubble wrap, but slightly better than listening to Vogon poetry. Be mildly entertained by Mike and Mike as they tackle an assortment of geeky topics each week. Check out the Earth Station 1 podcast and let your inner geek out to play.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.